Let's take our seats, and we're going to turn in our Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 6. Just one verse. And I'm not even going to read the whole verse. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking on the theme, reflecting on the theme of journeying together, asking the question, what is it that God has been saying to us? What point have we come to together? And where do we go from here? What are the decisions we need to make to move forward from here? And I recognize that each week, as I have chosen a text or a passage and we've reflected on it together, I recognize I have quite deliberately sought to speak about us corporately, us together, Evesham Baptist Church, as a family, as a community together, and what God has been saying to us. But I recognize that at the same time, God has been speaking into the hearts of individuals about your own walk with God, about what He is calling you to, about your personal response. So while even today, even this morning, I will speak again about our life corporately, what God is calling us to together, there will be application in what we reflect on for us as individuals. So hopefully we pray that God would speak kindly to us today. This is the verse I've just read. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. And walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Have you ever stood at crossroads? Have you ever stood at crossroads? Yeah? Have you ever stood at crossroads and wondered which direction you should go in? Because the truth of it is you're lost, but you've got to some crossroads, and that's actually made it worse. Because if you were on just a single stretch of road, well, you can either go backwards or forwards. But when you get to crossroads, you have to think, okay, where do I go now? And Jeremiah says to the people, stand at the crossroads and look. This is what the Lord says, or this is what the Lord has said. Stand at the crossroads and look. At the crossroads, I guess there aren't too many places to look. You can look, in this case, to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you. But the sense here, when God says stand at the crossroads and look, it is not a quick glance that is in mind. It's not just a, okay, right, this is it, I'm off. It's a stand at the crossroads and carefully consider, have a close examination of where you are. Have a look at what you have before you. Stand at the crossroads and carefully examine what you have there. The crossroads are there because people have traveled this route before. People have been here before us. So stand at the crossroads and look. Carefully consider, closely examine where you are. And for us, on our journey, this is all about learning from the past. It's about standing at the crossroads for us. It's about coming to a point and saying, okay, what is the point that God has brought us to? And what should our response be to it? And we need to ask, well, who has traveled here before us? These crossroads, these roads that we've come to, they're not here because we're the first people here They're here because many other people have travelled this way. Who has travelled here before us? It's been really helpful in the last few months. Having celebrated our 275th anniversary to read several times through the history of the church and for us to be able to say, well, Evesham Baptist Church 2007, 2008 didn't just appear, but it's been a long journey. People traveling, following Jesus together. And the crossroads we come to, we can say, well, our forebears have traveled this way before us. They have been here at the crossroads. We can ask who traveled. We can ask, well, where did they go? We can say, why did they travel in that particular direction? We can think about the decisions that they took. We can think about the reasons why they traveled in a particular way. We can think about the opportunities that they had, the successes that they experienced, the mistakes they made. And it's important for us, Evesham Baptist Church, to stand, as it were, at the crossroads, to look, to carefully consider, where is it that God has brought us to? And we need to look and say, who's been here before? And what did they do? Now, I'm going to put up a map of Evesham. And hope you can recognize this or see this. See this bendy bit around here? This is the bypass, yeah? Do you recognize this? Yeah, okay. So we've got Cheltenham Road. Sue, you live somewhere in here, don't you? Yeah? Somewhere in there. And come around Broadway Road. Dougie and Tracy, you live up there somewhere. Is that right? Anybody live here? Kind of here? Yeah. So this is the Four Pauls up there. Okay, now I'm going to put some dots on this map of Evesham. And these dots are where, can you see them? They're not very clear, but purple dots. And they indicate where churches are. Okay, so if maybe I need to point them out, but this is St. Peter's, Bengeworth, Salvation Army, Methodist Church, Baptist Church, Quakers over the road, approximately from us. Pentecostal Church, All Saints, where's that? Vale of Evesham Christian Centre, St. Mary's Catholic Church. Now, I could have shown you a map from probably 100 years ago, perhaps more, and I could have put dots on that map as to where churches were 100 years ago, and guess where they would have been? Where? In exactly the same place. Now, I'm going to now just kind of put up some areas, some lines. And in the last 30 years, or just over 30 years, this is the amount of building that has gone on in Evesham. So all of what you see there, and all of what you see there, that's all gone up in the last 30 years or so. And a blue area, I think, up there, that's got planning permission. How many houses are going up there, Clive? 300 homes are going up in there. Okay, now here's a guess. You can guess at this. Guess how many churches have moved out to minister to these new people. No. That would be a good guess, you see. Okay, now, this is important. Stand at the crossroads and look, it's a question for us to ask about our town. How is that, has our town changed? What is the difference between now and when these churches were put up there? That cross there is where our land is, where our gift of land is. We've been talking about moving out to that site. But it's important we stand at the crossroads and we look. And we ask questions about Evesham. We ask questions about who has been here before and what decisions did they make? What opportunities did they have? What things did they pass by and just let go and carry on? You see, we do have a rapidly growing population. The boundaries of Evesham have been expanding. Do you see how they've just expanded all the way around the bypass? And as far as I'm aware, there's tremendous pressure on Wychavon, upon Evesham, to provide more houses in the next 10 or 20 years and so on with the government policy. And so this map, it's actually going to get more and more densely populated all around here. And we need to ask questions about the crossroads we stand at and the decisions and the opportunities that were faced in the past. The churches have all stayed where they were 100 years ago. Now, I put up Four Paul's Church because I'm not completely clear about Four Paul's Church, but I know that there was a group who came out somewhere here and met regularly. Do you know how many years? Was? Don't know. 4 years, Paul reckons. 4 years. But there was a group that no longer meets here. But maybe that was an opportunity. Somebody saw and said, we need to go and be in the middle of this new housing. I know, I think it was John King who told me, who's minister at the Vale of Evesham Christian Centre. John King, when I first came here, he said that it had been mentioned to him by another local minister about the possibility of starting a new church or moving a church or some such thing onto the Four Pools estate because of this rapid growth in housing and therefore in population. But it was decided, for whatever reason at the time, that that wouldn't happen. As we stand at the crossroads and look, this is what we see. Our town has been rapidly changing, and no church has moved physically to account for it. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. We stand at the crossroads and we look and we see what has happened in the past and we see what is happening now. So we stand at the crossroads and look. But then we're told, well, ask for the ancient paths and ask where the good way is. Ask for the ancient paths and ask where the good way is. So we stand at the crossroads and we look and we see. Over the last years, as a church, we have been standing at the crossroads and we've been looking. We've taken time to think about where we're at. We have been asking the questions. We have been asking the questions about the ancient paths, about where the good way is. Where is the way that God is calling us to? And we've taken time in terms of prayer and discussion and meetings and questions and decisions and so on and so on. And I'm sure for some of you there has been that sense of this just goes on forever and ever and we never actually move away from the crossroads. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. And it seems to me this is what we have done. This is what we have been looking at. We have asked the questions. Where is the good way? Where is the good way? The good way for us as a church to travel. Where is the good way for us now? Where is the good way for us for the future? We stand at the crossroads, we look and we ask. And that's what we've been doing. The answer, as I've sought to communicate, particularly in these last few weeks, has been clear. This is another map that I've put up in the last few weeks of Evesham, kind of with Benchworth and Bridge Street here. And I think a blob will appear where that's it. That is where we meet at the moment. And the gift of the land that we've been talking about possibly moving to is up here. Ask where the good way is. And our suggestion, as we communicated on Wednesday evening at the church meeting, our suggestion is that God is saying to us very clearly, yes, you've stood at the crossroads and you've looked. You've asked about the ancient paths. You've asked about the good way. Well, here it is. Our commitment must be in the next couple of years to move. To move to a new geographic location. To keep with us the heart for our community. A heart of compassion, of kindness, a desire to serve our community. We take that with us. We take with us our values of following after Jesus, of welcoming, of including, of involving, of journeying together. We take our values with us. But we've stood at the crossroads and we have looked, we have asked the questions. And we say, where's the good way? Show us the good way and we will walk in it. And that is what we have sought to do. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. And then, what does it say? And then do what? Walk in it. Walk in it. Now, I was fascinated when I was studying this particular verse and reflecting on it, that where it says, and walk in it, it's quite a passionate, there's quite a passionate kind of emphasis upon this word, walk. It's not stand at the crossroads, have a look, and what am I doing? You know, I don't know if I'm walking, I'm probably ambling, like a lot of teenagers, you know, ambling along. It's not like that. And yet we can interpret it like that. Well, we'll move cautiously, very slowly, tentatively, not really sure. There's a very passionate sense about this word. It is about walking, but it is about a commander saying, come on, now's the time to move out. We're all prepared and we're ready. Now move out, depart, get going. Do you remember I read earlier in the service from Acts chapter 1, the disciples have been with Jesus and he's spoken to them and said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. But now, go into Jerusalem and wait, the Spirit will come upon you. And Jesus at that point is taken up from their sight and they're gazing up to heaven. And then the angels appear. And I guess the angels kind of come and they look at them. And then they look up, what are you looking at? And there's a sense of, why are you men looking up into the sky? Why are you still here? Your instructions have been given. Now go from this place, go to Jerusalem, wait for the Spirit. That's what you've been told to do. And there is that same passionate emphasis here, walk in it. The Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Ask which is the good way. And then walk in it. Go on. Get out of this place. Move out. Depart from where you are because God has spoken. He's made it clear to you. Now your responsibility is to respond. To do something about what God is saying. And so what should our response be? And it has to be a practical response to what God is saying. Well, on last Wednesday at the church members meeting, I was able to bring a presentation about where we're at, about what I believe God is calling us to. And it's not something that I come to lightly, but it is something I have wrestled with for a number of years. But I brought a presentation about that. We talked about the details of design, the opportunities that we have. And we have to say, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Why, in a sense, why are we still here? Why haven't we done anything yet? And what we expressed on Wednesday was that in the 2 months, January church meeting last Wednesday and the March church meeting, so 2 months, we have the opportunity to ask questions about what I presented and what I'll present next Sunday after lunch. We have the opportunity to pray. We have the opportunity to give in whatever way we can give as our, the beginning of our response to what God has told us to do. Now walk in it. Walk in it. Well, there needs to be from each one of us a commitment to pray. That's why starting next Sunday, there will be a week of prayer. And there will be another week of prayer in March. There will be opportunities each day during Lent to pray for the church, to pray that our progress might be good, that we might be walking in the good way. There needs to be this commitment from us to pray. And we can all do that. But there needs also to be a very practical commitment to give. And this, we're talking money. I always smile when I remember what John Wesley said about conversion. You may know John Wesley. He's credited with the founding of the Methodist Church. He came through Evesham on a number of occasions, and I don't know which field it was or which home it was, but he had the crowds in their thousands listening to him because he had a very clear message about Jesus, about how people had to repent and come back to God and surrender their lives to God and serve him alone. And John Wesley said, the very last part of a man to be converted is his wallet. The very last part of a man to be converted is his wallet. But our commitment, our response, we've stood, we've looked, we've asked, our response will be prayer and it will be giving. And we will take what God has given to us and we'll say, God, you gave this to me and I will give it to further your work in this place. When the history of the church is written, in another 100 years or 200 years, it will be noted whether we had the courage to move forwards, to do what we believe at this time God is calling us to. And it's all there in the church meeting minutes, our discussions and our prayers. We won't be able to avoid it. But it's there. A commitment to pray, but also a commitment to give. New buildings on a new site. Well, how much will that cost? We're estimating it'll cost about £850,000. Now, last Wednesday and then next Sunday, I'll detail that a little more, what that means. But what we're saying is this, that in the first year, we need a commitment to £50,000. Yeah? We need a commitment to £50,000. And we will not proceed. We will not leave these crossroads until we have a commitment to that £50,000. That will be for us our sign of what God has called us to and stirred in our hearts. And you'll say, of course, well, how on earth can we get that kind of money? Well, I put this slide up on Wednesday. Church members and others will be invited to do what? One, commit to a regular monthly gift for a period of 10 years. That will take us beyond this year, but it will take us for the next 10 years. You might say, well, I can't give a big gift now, but I can commit myself to give something every month. 10 years. And that's what we're being asked to do. It may be that we're in a position where we can give a one-off gift. On Wednesday evening, I was reminded of a man called Joseph. We read about him in the Acts of the Apostles. A man called Joseph, we're told, comes to the apostles because Joseph has sold his fields. And he's taken the money and he brings it to the apostles. And they change his name from Joseph to Barnabas, son of encouragement, because his generosity, his joy at giving so encouraged them. Some of you may have a field to sell. Some of you may have a field to sell. Some of you may have a house to sell. Some of you may have a house to sell that's too big for you. And God at this point will say to you, you don't need 6 bedrooms, 8 bedrooms, whatever you've got. I have blessed you that you might be a blessing. It may be that you have 2 or 3 cars sitting on your drive that you don't need, and God will challenge your heart and you'll sell one of them or 2 of them. And it may be in that way you can give a one-off gift. It may be that for some of you, you have been storing up your wealth in bank accounts or share options or whatever it is. And at this point, God would say to you, now is the time. Now is the time for you to give what God has given to you. But that's what we're looking for. It may be that we make a commitment over 10 years. It may be that we can make a one-off gift. Also, we're invited, if you get a windfall in the next few years, you're not expecting it, a bonus, because you're such a fantastic worker at work and your bosses are so pleased with you, they give you however much. Now, you can say, that's because I'm such a fantastic worker. Or you can say, God gave it to me as a blessing so that I could be a blessing to others. And so we're inviting you all to just let that rest on you. It may be that you need to change your will. I'm not suggesting any of you are going to die. But this is serious. When you're gone, you don't need your money, your house, your possessions. Where's it going? Where's it going? Now, you could invest a lot of it in something that will last for a very, very long time. It may be that you need to change your will. It may be that you can loan money to the church. You say, well, I've got this set aside for this, but I will defer doing whatever this money is for, and I will loan money to the church. Or it might be that you do something very simple, like collecting £2 coins. And you say, every time I see a coin, I'll put it aside and it will add up and add up and add up over a period of 10 years. I don't know how many thousand pounds you could pick up and gather. In a very practical way, it may be that you decide, well, I will do without something. I will do without having a newspaper. I'll do without Sky Television. I'll do without having a television at all. That would save us money. And I'll give what I save. I will do without a trip out, whatever it is. And I will quite deliberately choose a lifestyle that frees up money. This is where it comes a bit of a crunch, doesn't it? We say, okay, if God is calling us to move ahead, which I believe he is, we stand at the crossroads and we look. We ask all the questions, and then God says, now walk in it. Depart from this place. Why are you still here? Take the clear decisions that mean you can journey on from here. God says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And then you will have rest for your soul. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Focus your heart and your life and your soul upon Jesus, upon what God is calling you to and what God is calling us to. And Jesus promises, when we do that, we will know rest for our soul because we're walking in the good way. May God be close to us. May God be kind to us as we make our response over these next few weeks. And I'm going to pray at this point. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your kindness to us. Father, thank you that you have blessed us. You have blessed us materially in just an extraordinary way. And Father, we call to mind your promise to Abraham. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And Father, we confess you have blessed us. You've blessed us so that we might be a blessing. And Father, whatever our future holds together, we pray that you would help us to step out in obedience. That we will do what we have to do. May this be true of us as individuals, that you would stir deep within us your word for us, that we would know your blessing and your approval as we act with generosity. In your mercy, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.